After months of speculation, the federal government has announced the creation of a domestic gas reservation. The market intervention, which Energy Minister Chris Bowen calls historic, will force companies to set aside as much as a quarter of their gas on the East Coast for domestic use. The policy is aimed at putting what the government calls downward pressure on prices and at helping alleviate looming gas shortages. Danny Alexander is CEO of the University of New South Wales Energy Institute. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Danny Alexander, we've known this was coming for a long time. What's your sort of overall read of what was announced yesterday?
Thanks, Barbara. I think it's, as you say, something we've been expecting for some time. We're now starting to get the details of the domestic gas reservation scheme showing that we're going to need to keep between 15 to 25% of our production for the Australian market. I think the date makes sense to me given the Australian Energy Market Operator has forecast possible peak day gas shortages from 2028 if we see high winter demand for gas in our southern states at a time when gas production is also unexpectedly interrupted. You know, we're waiting to see the details of the scheme because they're not yet firm and they'll be settled by a consultation period next year, but the principles guiding the design have been published. The principle that most interests me is the principle of respecting existing export contracts to address what we've seen as possible perceptions of sovereign risk. This has been raised as an issue as the possibility of this scheme has been discussed previously because Australia is seen as having a relatively stable policy environment. If existing contracts were affected, we might not be seen as such a good place for energy investments into the future.
As you've said, it comes in 2027. Isn't there a high chance we'll see shortages before then?
The Australian Energy Market Operator has forecasted these peak day gas shortages from 2028, but it's only after that, from 2029 onwards, that they have forecast annual shortages. So the dates do make sense to me in that sense, but we should also consider not just the supply side, but the demand side. So we can also address the issues of shortages by, I guess, reducing our demand for gas, which, you know, in many cases means electrifying loads.
Is there a chance, though, that this policy will drive up demand?
I haven't seen that come through in the analysis, but what I do question is whether the policy will make it more difficult to electrify or build the business case for electrification. So what we'd really like to see is the government also focusing on addressing the demand side issue by incentivizing or facilitating a greater electrification, particularly of low value uses of gas, as an example, residential heating loads.
Well, green groups have mostly backed the proposal, but are cautioning that it can't be used as an excuse to develop more gas fields. Do you think that's a likely outcome?
The question that I think the fact that this is only affecting new contracts raises is, will the reservation be enough to address the projected gas supply shortfall? Essentially, if it's only new contracts, we don't know how much gas will be reserved. However, I feel fairly confident that we should be able to achieve both our emissions reduction, but also our energy affordability targets, if we're able to essentially address the demand side alongside the supply.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. I'm speaking to Danny Alexander from UNSW's Energy Institute. Danny Alexander, I guess the big question is, will this put downward pressure, as the government puts it, on prices? Will households see a difference?
Mm. So the policy approach taken by the government is to increase supply in order to reduce the pressure on prices. So yes, it's a good work, but the design of the scheme is going to be very important. So for gas users, this is going to depend on various factors, including the amount of gas storage, particularly in the southern region, so it's available when users need it at those peak times. For electricity and gas power generation particularly, the picture is more complex, but the message is somewhat the same. We need to make sure that the gas is available when and where we need it. So analysis by our Collaboration on Energy and Environmental Markets at UNSW has shown that there's a very strong correlation with global gas prices and our electricity prices at home. And we saw this really clearly when the Ukraine war constrained global supply and it drove up energy prices, both gas and electricity. So if the domestic gas reservation scheme is going to help with this, it's going to need to deliver enough supply to address that peak electricity demand.
And are there infrastructure issues there with delivering that supply?
Yes, it's not just temporal, so the time, it's also locational that we need to consider. And there are actually some really interesting ways in which to solve this. So for instance, using our existing gas pipelines to bump up our storage capacity in those southern regions. But if we're to do those things, we're going to need to actually free up more capacity in those pipelines by doing things like reducing household gas demand, so electrifying more household appliances.
WA already has a gas reservation scheme. What lessons have we learned there?
I think having an example at home is quite helpful to see that it can be effective, but I am mindful that the West Australian context is different to our East Coast. So our national electricity market does operate quite differently, including the market structures that we have here with our market bodies and market participants. So we will need to see through the design and the consultation period something that is fit for purpose over on the East Coast.
Now, Malaysia, Singapore, Taiwan, Japan, South Korea are all big buyers of Australian gas. Do you think that this policy could impact that relationship?
I've seen that the government is engaging with those trade partners, and I expect again that this is the reason why we're only talking about new gas contracts, uncontracted gas. Essentially, they've been quite clear saying that they're not going to be impacting existing contracts with our trade partners to reduce the perception of increased sovereign risk.
And Chris Bourne is also the Minister for Climate. How do you assess the balance with reviewing energy security and supply and the impact on the climate?
It's a really important point, and Wesley Morgan at UNSW highlights that a quarter of Australia's greenhouse gas emissions come from the production and the use of gas. And we should also be mindful that gas burned overseas is also responsible for substantial carbon emissions in other countries as well. So this is a balancing act here where we understand that gas in electricity, for example, is an insurance policy, essentially a way to back up our renewables, but we also need to be able to address the emissions that are coming from that generation source.
Danny Alexander, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me.